Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening. Hey, you remember it's hard to forget.
Man,
what you doing there, big dog?
I'm trying to find out what existing Fuddruckers locations are nearby. You like a Fuddruckers?
Didn't we talk about
we've
that?
We've discussed.
We've discussed.
Yeah.
But I mean, are you trying to tell me that there's some still
out there? I'm on Fuddruckers.
I'd already come to terms with that they were gone.
They're, you know what? They're where you would expect them to be. A lot of Florida, a lot of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Fuddruckers exist in places I don't want to exist. Although, wait, we got one in New Orleans. I know you'd be, you know, you'd eat a lot of good food in New Orleans, but if I saw Fuddruckers now, I took it for granted. But it was always right there in Burbank. I'd go once in a while. Mm-hmm. You know what the one I've been to the most? This. Let me see if this is the one. Is it Saugus? Massachusetts. I'm going to look at the map. Hold on a second. I'm going to find out. This is the one I've been to more often.
Saugus.
I think it might have been.
Saugus, Massachusetts.
Weirdly enough, every time I've played Boston, it's so expensive to get a hotel in the city. I've always stayed out outside of the city, and I think it's always been... It's always been at a hotel next, the same hotel next to the same Fuddruckers. I've been there twice. That's the most often I've been to this Fuddruckers. I think it's.
I stayed in Worcester.
It's the one. Okay, it is. It's the one right by Kowloon. Kowloon is a like it's legendary as like an old comedy venue, like a Chinese restaurant comedy venue.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And.
I've heard those Boston comics.
Yeah,
talk about that
and this is a Fuddruckers right behind it. That's the one I've been to, well, like twice, but the most in any recent memory. But I had one right in Burbank. I would only go. You got so many other food options. You don't look at Fuddruckers as much as you should. But if you're in Texas, you're in luck.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, I enjoyed a Fuddruckers. That was, when I was a little kid, that was the first quote-unquote nice restaurant I remember going to. Just nice in the fact that it wasn't Burger King or Pizza Hut. So I was like, oh, this is a step up. I think I had like my 8th or 9th birthday party there. And I just remember the 1-pound burger. And I just thought, you know, at 8 years old, I wasn't ready to tackle that. But that's where the seed was planted that one day... One day when I grow up, I'm going to eat a 1-pound burger.
Yes, of course. 1 pound. What a nice round, heavy number. Like, I weigh pounds. I measure myself in pounds. I can measure my food in the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. That's the first place I was introduced to Suicides, the beverage. A little aggressively named.
Oh, yeah.
Man, this is so nuts. I put Sprite and Dr. Pepper in this Pepsi. I may as well kill myself. Not sure why it was named that.
This guy's got a death wish.
No respect for his life. No self-respect. No self-preservation. What is it, an Arnold Palmer with a splash of black coffee? I don't know. But introduce that. And then you do-it-yourself toppings? Get out of town.
Mm-hmm. I have access to cheese sauce. You can let me pump on that little pump thing as much as I want.
I'm looking at where I got to drive to for one.
Multiple onions, multiple pickles. If I remember correctly, they had like two or three different varieties of pickles.
You had sweetened dill pickles. You had chopped onions. You had onion slices. Yeah. You had chopped. Mm-hmm. You had almost like a pico de gallo or tomatoes. It was...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm looking. I don't know where. I'm not going to be anywhere near any. Branson, Missouri. No thanks. Closest one for me is either Concord, California, Bay Area, California, Las Vegas. They got one in the Orleans Casino. Part of the food. I don't think you're going to get the full experience. Sparks, Nevada. And the Traveler's Mart. God, I'm just getting real horny for Fuddruckers. Sparks outside Arena. Yeah, all right. Well,
I love a big old sloppy burger.
I do too.
You know what? Like, as much as I talk about barbecue and Southern cuisine and stuff, one of my just absolute favorite things is a really good hamburger, a cheeseburger rather. But man,
yeah, restaurants.
I love a good cheeseburger.
Puerto Rico's got one. None in a tri-state area for me, but I'm glad. Puerto Rico. I've never been to Puerto Rico. I'd like to go. People love it.
Who's the guy? Who's the Popeyes character who's always wanting to pay you Tuesday for a cheeseburger
Wimpy.
Today?
Yeah,
remember
Wimpy.
That guy?
Yeah,
Wimpy. Wimpy. Wimp. Yeah, I sympathize with Wimpy.
He just wants it now.
Sometimes you need a good burger. You're low on cash.
Well.
You know what I made last night? I cooked... Cooked freestyle, no recipe, just kind of freestyled a homemade beef stew, but I upgraded it to a steak stew, and man, it's been so rainy and cold here, relatively speaking, that Katie's like, we need some stew. I was like, all right, it's good, beefy.
Isn't it just cubes of steak, more or less, when you're making it?
Well, usually it's like a chuck roast, a lower cut of beef. But she got me, for Valentine's Day, she got me a whole grip of Omaha steaks. I got like 24 different fucking steaks.
Where are you keeping 24 steaks?
I got them in my freezer. Yeah, I got them all stacked up nice and neat.
An auxiliary
organized,
freezer?
Alphabetized. No, not yet. No, I wish. But no, we just got, the regular refrigerator, freezer combo, traditional freezer on the left, fridge on the right. And I don't have a lot of stuff in the freezer other than meat. So, yeah, there's room for it. But, yeah, man, put a little filet meat in there, a little ribeye meat, some beef stock, some onions, mushrooms, garlic, carrots, potatoes, celery, fresh herbs. And here's what I did. I know you probably, I've talked about this technique, but this really is such a good technique. And I'm not saying I invented this technique, but no one taught it to me. It was just pure common fat sense. But all those veggies I just listed, right? We had two versions of each veggie. And what I mean is, so we got onions, mushrooms, garlic, celery, carrots, and potatoes, right? So... First, what I did is, minus the potato and the celery, all the other veggies I roasted. I roasted them, then I pureed them. So we got that roasted veggie flavor, but then for texture, we have the exact same lineup, but with a dice or a rough chop. Uh-huh. So you've got texture vegetables, and you got pureed
vegetables.
So I'm doubling down. I'm doubling down. Double the flavor.
I like what's going on there. I like what you're doing. I'm still looking at the Fuddruckers menu. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the menu. Right. They got they got a special menu for the Puerto Rican one. They got a Boricua. They got a Boricua burger.
I thought you were going to say for Puerto Ricans.
Just for Puerto Ricans. They got a special menu for you guys down there. All right. Well, nobody gives a shit about Fuddruckers as much as we do, Dave. But they do care about getting their question answered.
Let's right in the
get in there. I'm going to go with... I want Frostbeard. Just because I had D&D Frostbeard. On the mind.
That's a good one.
Frostbeard says, Kyle, you mentioned playing The Last of Us game. Would love to know your thoughts on the game if you've played any further. And for both of us, he's got a question. Would you guys ever consider streaming yourselves playing some horror games? I think you'd have some good commentary. Dave, I brought this up. Did we answer this before? Did we talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
I completed The Last of Us. I haven't watched the show. Sorry if I answered this one before. I can't remember. I haven't watched the show yet. I'm kind of intimidated by the show. Everybody's saying how great it is. Also, how like gut wrenching it is. No pun intended. That it's weird.
What is it? Is it a zombie?
It's like a virus out. It's a virus outbreak zombies? That turns people into these kind of, you know, like a brain bug, and turns them into zombies more or less. But in the game, there's various types. There's zombies that are walking. They're just like humans that are like, you know, they're taking over. But these other ones, and their heads all like, their head almost looks like a Venus flytrap. Like it's just been like I don't know, just expanded and deformed by this virus. And they're much harder to kill in the game. But the game has such an intense story behind it, which is why I can see that they made this show about it. And everybody's all about the show. The game itself, maybe this is what happened last time, because I tried to get you excited about these games and you weren't having it. But you're sitting around watching a lot of shitty movies. What have you sat around? You're creating the story yourself. I've tried. It's your ball's in your court at this point, Dave. I know I've tried to convince you.
Yeah.
But it's still hand-eye coordination. It's still something.
Yeah.
It's still engagement. It's not a waste of time, I don't think.
No, I get that. I get that. I just, I don't know why. I don't know why I just don't give a fuck. I'm sure it would be fun with the right game, with the right state of mind, but I just haven't seen or been exposed to anything that's like whet my appetite. Like, ooh, I got to get into that. You know, but I'm sure the right game might come along.
They're scary. They're scary games. Well, anyway, I think so. Dave's not going to stream playing a horror game. I tried streaming. I tried doing Twitch by myself. I did some. I was playing Red Dead with old Mikey Carrozza. But it was just weird.
That's the like Western.
Yeah, that game. I know it's everybody absolutely loves that game, and it just I missed the point entirely for me. Bored me to fucking death.
Hmm.
And it's
really
it's regarded as like one of the best games of all time. And I tried over and over again, and I cannot adjust to the pacing of the game. I don't. I'll try again one day, but the streaming element. There's something real weird about, like, I'm live playing a game in my room, and people are just watching me play the game. And I just couldn't get, it didn't feel, I felt like if somebody's watching me do something, I should be performing. Like, you know, like it's stand-up or it's acting.
Yeah, that's because you're a...
But
I think for people like us that is foreign. But if you were just, you know, a regular person who doesn't have any background in performance, then you're like, sure, I'll sit here and play this game. But I totally get what you're saying. Like, I would feel obligated,
and so
to do something beyond just.
And people
playing the
said,
game.
No, it's just like we're hanging out with you, and that made me feel weird. And it wasn't, nobody did anything. It wasn't their fault. I just realized, like, oh, I'm not built for this. Invite strangers into my life kind of thing. With stand up, it's my decision what to say to an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just like, oh, I'm just playing a game. Do I have to comment on everything, or is it? Because then I just feel like I'm the host of a party. Like, I just, I got all the stuff for it. I got all the stuff to do Twitch here, and it just felt strange. So,
yeah, I totally get that. And like, if we're sitting around riffing, like, riffing has to be completely organic.
Yeah.
Like, to feel pressure, obligation to, like, continue to riff on things, like, ugh.
It's that. It's also like in the moment stuff feels, you know, I won't name names, but there's a lot of comedians like, oh my God, they're in the moment stuff. Like this whole trend of taking suggestions from the audience to do bits about on stage. Yeah, that's called improv. It's been around for a long time.
That's called improv.
And some people I want to watch do it, but other people do it and they're just like, oh, that's so quick. And I'm like, it's Subway magic. It's not. It's in the moment. Somebody thought of something a second before you did, and it's. I'm like. I just. To me, it feels like a cheap way out. But improvisers always felt that stand-up is a cheap way out because you've thought of something and you just keep saying it over and over again. So good improvisers, like a team where it's people working together, it's amazing to watch. Even good crowd work. Don't get me wrong. Even good crowd work. But the stuff that, like...
Amazing's a strong word.
It's... I mean, I've seen improv where I'm like, holy shit. When you watch top-level people figure it out, and they know each other. It's like that whole... It's like... You know what? The same way I think using amazing when you refer to teamwork in sports, the same way. Oh, that guy knew he was going to run there just in time to get the ball. That's amazing to other people. And for me, I'm just like, yeah, you're good at your job. But it's the same idea applied to improv. Oh, you just made this wild idea within a story, and this other guy just took it and ran with it to a different place. But you guys are all so in tune with each other. It's like, I don't give a shit about jam bands, but somebody else is like, he was going to play that, and he knew he was going to land on that note right when that guy was going to start up over there. It's something.
Yeah,
it's
I get all that.
But I'm just not impressed by... I think there's a lot of new people coming to stand-up that don't even know improv exists, and they think what they're being shown is the most amazing thing in the world. And I think it's like, you're kind of... Again, Subway magic. That's amazing. How did the queen get from that side of the table to the other side of the table? And then there's real magic out there that's like, oh, that guy, you know, made a human being disappear before my eyes.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm just bitching.
Improv, I always think about it. It's the same thing like with freestyle rap. Like, yes, that's impressive to a certain degree that this guy can just off the top of his head spit out some rhymes. But in terms of the finished product, wouldn't the guy who sat down and crafted a song or crafted his lyrics, wouldn't that, you know, all things being equal, wouldn't that version be better than the improvised version? Same thing with comedy or
but
sketch,
what,
like improv
versus
sketch.
It depends on what
right?
you value.
Sketch, you, yeah, I guess so. I value the finished product as opposed to... It's my same thing with cooking. The stupid cooking shows. Like, oh, he made a meal out of these three obscure things. Okay, but what if he made a meal that he got to choose the ingredients and use his expertise? Wouldn't that finished product be a lot more enjoyable than whatever monstrosity he made out of those three random things?
They're not judging it enjoyable. They're judging the skill of the chefs. They're judging what can you do with limited resources. So the laughter at improv is a judgment of, oh, shit, you came up with that right now. Laughter at stand-up is like you're still trying to recreate the idea of surprise. So the skill in stand-up is delivering something like it's the first time you've thought of it every single night you deliver it. So that's why improv is always the result laugh in the
moment. I agree, but there's more skill than just that.
Yeah, no, of course. You got
to
know.
Yeah. But there's still more to stand up than just that. Like, to me, like, okay.
There is very much.
I don't know. I just think.
But it's an audience going, oh, that was just right in the moment, and I'm dazzled by it. I've seen improv that has dazzled me.
Yeah.
The stuff that a lot of stand-ups are doing is not dazzling me. I mean, I would do those shows where it's like you're a stand-up, but like, all right, here's a real goofy idea. Do a stand-up set about it. Mm-hmm. Because I signed up for that on purpose. I'm not going to do that to somebody that paid money to see me. But you paid money to see me. If you pay money to see somebody else that you know does crowd work, you paid to see that crowd work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different strokes for different folks, man. I just don't. I haven't been impressed by stand-ups. The improvised bits I'm seeing stand-ups do have always kind of. I'm kind of like, you're taking advantage of an audience that's in the zone. But to watch it on as a clip, I'm like, this was not. Didn't do much for me. But hey, they're all making more money than us. So congratulations, Steve Channel. Said I quit smoking 4 years now. That's the only resolution I ever stuck to. Good for you. Smoking sucks. I did it for 10 years just to make sure I hated it. I got up to a pack and a half a day.
Pack and a half? What's that? 30 cigarettes?
There's
20 in a pack? Wow.
Well, two packs at one point, but that'll also include like being out at bars and letting people have some and. So,
what? All right, you got a group of 30 friends. They all smoke. The guy or gal who smokes the most. What are they putting down a day? I mean, are there people out there that do 3 or 4 packs?
Oh,
was
that John Cougar Mellencamp was famous? We'll look it up. John Cougar Melanoma smoking. Let's see. He was famously.
John
up to
John Mellencamp.
Yeah, 20 years after his heart attack. Okay, he had a heart attack. Oh, this is from 2014. How is this dude still alive? Smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day.
80 cigarettes a day. Good God.
Yeah, he's still.
You ever known an actual chain smoker? Like, am I correct in saying that an actual chain smoker will light the next one with the end of the previous one?
Like, they literally just. I would do that on breaks. I would do that if I had like a 15-minute cigarette break. I'm like, I absolutely have to have 2 cigarettes, and then I would just feel like dog shit. Like, I didn't. Why did I do that at all?
What? I know this is kind of a naive or dumb question, but like when you say you feel like shit from smoking cigarettes, what are the symptoms? Is it just make it harder to breathe? Make you lethargic?
Just, no, you just feel like you got what does you just it do? Poisoned yourself. Like you just feel very ill. You just feel ill. Like, you know, like when you see a cartoon when the guy's green because he's sick, that's how you feel green. Not quite barfy in your stomach, but just kind of like, I got poisoned. I feel
yucky.
Poisoned. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why I never started. Like, I never saw the upside. Like, with alcohol, you can at least understand, you know, it takes the edge off, it makes you loosen up. I never saw the benefit of smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, I always. I like the ceremony around it rather than the actual cigarette. I liked lighting a cigarette, liked having a lighter, like packing cigarettes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We're always like, oh, if I get in a car, I got to have one. I get after a meal, you have one. But, you know, that's. I liked smoking when I smoked. I liked smoking when I smoked. Okay. We'll be right back. Carl Fisher has an involved question.
Okay.
He says, you're hunting in the forest for wild turkey with a shotgun, as we both want to do. You see movement in a bush and fire at it. Is that irresponsible hunting if you just see a bush move and you're like, ah, fuck, I'll shoot?
It is. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, okay, this is where it goes. A man stumbles out of the bushes and dies at your feet. You decide to bury him and cover up all the evidence. This is not like us, Carl. I don't think you've been listening to the show. Well, you're pushing dirt onto the man's grave. You look up and notice Bigfoot peeking around a tree with a phone in their hand, recording the whole thing. I like where this goes. Bigfoot panics and starts to run. In your heart, you know they're running to the ranger station to expose you. What do you do? P.S. Their ankle is hurt a little, so their stride is the same as yours. P.S.S. I might post this again next month if you don't get to it, because I think it might be Dave's biggest nightmare. Parentheses, kisses. Carl, wow, you got in there with it. What do you do,
Dave? Carl. Well, I mean, in this universe where Bigfoot has access to a phone and knows how to use it and knows how to report it, if you've committed to... First of all, see, this happens in movies all the time where, like, there's an accident or a manslaughter scenario, but then they just elevate it by doing what Carl's suggesting here. Like, if you shot a... First thing I would do, in all honesty, I would report it. I would be like, oops, I accidentally killed this guy. At worst, you're getting manslaughter. But, yeah, I understand this is a different universe where Bigfoot
okay.
has a cell phone. If you've already committed to burying the first guy, as much as I love Bigfoot and want Bigfoot population to thrive,
wow.
I mean, I think I got to take this fucker out, you know?
Okay, I have so many.
If you've already buried the first dude,
you're assuming you could shoot Bigfoot. That's right. I forgot your gun. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Why leave a living witness?
Where is Bigfoot? Where did Bigfoot walk in to a T-Mobile store and set up a plan?
Yeah.
But this is that's where I have a question. What is the service that he's got? Bigfoot lives in remote locations, yet he's getting service? I would love to know what company. There's your pitch right there. You get Verizon, like even Bigfoot has service. That's how good our coverage is.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe.
He can't use it, though.
That's what I'm saying. Or maybe, well, everything's got Siri. And everything's got Siri and translator program, so he can make his growls and hoots into it. But you think that maybe this is how we squash all, like, 5G's dangerous? Bigfoot doesn't think so. And then you show him using a phone. So that's where. Mm-hmm. Also, why is he going to run to the ranger station? Why not call on your phone? Does he know the ranger? You think the ranger?
You
think the ranger isn't going to be like, oh, shit, a Bigfoot, the legendary creature. Oh, but he's got a message. Like, they're just going to be like, oh, Bigfoot. They're going to shoot Bigfoot. You're going to get away free at the end of this because the ranger's going to be like, oh, shit, it's a Bigfoot running right at me.
Yeah.
Also, it's incredible. Again.
Man, that would be.
I don't go in the forest to look for wild turkey. I know what spot of the shelf it's on. It's a liquor store. But it's a great set. There's more questions than answers I got for you right now, Carl. But this is, I understand what you're going at, but I want, like, do the Bigfoot and the ranger know each other? Mm-hmm. Is the Bigfoot that, you know, he was stealthy? Who's the guy? Who did we shoot? Why was a guy hiding in the bushes? Maybe he was a bad guy.
Think how big that grave is. You got to.
Well, no, he didn't shoot. If you do shoot Bigfoot, I'm just trying to. I just shoot the. All you have to do is get the phone, and then it's Bigfoot's word against yours, a mythical creature with a wild story.
Yeah.
You shoot Bigfoot, you put the gun in Bigfoot's hands and cover it up that way. That's what I would do. I'd frame up Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Then you get to the ranger station. You're not going to believe it. I just watched Bigfoot shoot this guy with my gun. Call Dateline. I got a story for him. Good one, though, Carl. Good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good job, Carl. Let's see. This is a fun one. Valerie Green. Hey, fellas. Top three favorite movies of all time. Now, fuck, marry, kill those three. Mm. I couldn't guess one of your favorite movies,
really?
Kyle. As long as we've been doing this. Yeah, I don't think I know. You know, I kind of know your general taste, but I don't know the few that you hold in very high regard.
I have go-tos. Yeah.
Me off the top of my head.
Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Goodfellas.
No particular order. I would have to say Goodfellas, probably fourth or fifth on my list. I would have to go with, no particular order. I love Heat. I love Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I love Fargo. Those would probably be my top three in no particular order. But yeah, Goodfellas fighting to get in there. I mean, I've seen that movie so many times. I love that movie.
So wait, so
I'm a Coen Brothers
Heat?
Guy.
What's the other one? Heat?
Heat, Fargo, and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I'm going to go with your Coen Brothers.
Yeah, I really
I'm
going to
say Raising Arizona.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That
definitely be
Raising
my top
Arizona.
10.
I feel like I just go with stuff that's on my mind now. I don't have I don't buy DVDs and this and that. God, 22-year-old Kyle would be like Fight Club, dude. It changed my life. And now it's
Fight Club.
It's, you know, every dumb suburban kid.
It's entertaining.
Yeah. But the message, man.
Yeah.
Raising Arizona.
I didn't get the twist the first time. I wasn't paying attention.
I mean, yeah, we were all so high every movie we watched. We were stoned out of our tits. So
I'd
throw Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure in there.
Ooh, okay. So Raising Arizona, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
And
those
just
because
it came
ones.
Up earlier, I was doing a thing with the Grolix boys, and we were covering surf movies. But one that I've gone back to and have found bits of comedy more and more. Back to the Beach.
I was about to say Back to the Beach. I saw that in the theater on my birthday, whenever that came out, like my 9th or 10th birthday. I don't know why, made me want to go see that movie, but I was like, let's go see Back to the Beach.
As I'm typing in Back to the Beach to see the cast, Back to the Future comes up in the search bar. That's a great movie, too. Put that in there. But it didn't have Dick Dale and Fishbone and Lori Loughlin. Yeah,
who was the main character? The older guy that was
Frankie
like big
Avalon
in the
50s? And Annette Funicello.
Frankie.
It was like they were doing the self aware, like how the new 21 Jump Streets, are making fun of themselves. They were doing that back in the day. But Demian Slade, this guy stole the whole movie. Demian Slade, he was the My $2 kid from Better Off Dead.
Okay, yeah, $2.
That kid stole the movie. Kid was phenomenal. but I'll say that. And I fuck, marry, kill of those three movies, I would marry Raising Arizona. I'd fuck Bill and Ted's, and I'd kill Back to the Beach.
Okay. I would, I'd fuck Heat, marry Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and kill Fargo.
Kill Fargo. Was just That's in Fargo, and holy shit.
How'd that treat you?
It was exactly like what they portray. Like, I mean, just driving through the absolute hell. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Frozen
tundra. I spent an 8-hour bus layover in Fargo. Ugh, so boring. Man, speaking of movies, you know what I watched last night? Really bad, good movie. Or really good, bad movie. Terrible movie, but fun to watch. Cobra. Sylvester Stallone, 1986.
I like the car.
Hey, there's an active shooter in the grocery store. Hold on, let me keep my sunglasses on. And where's my match that I keep in my mouth? I got this.
It's not an exciting...
So many terrible one-liners.
Yeah, man, it was the 80s action movie. It was all about the one-liners.
Huge faux pas in that movie. Probably in the first 10 minutes, he's pulling up to his apartment in his 1950, I guess that's a Ford,
some,
I don't know.
That's some
is that Ford?
Cool guy car.
The vanity plate just says, awesome 50. Anyway, he pulls up. He's trying to parallel park in front of his apartment building, and there's some cholos kicking it in like a 64 Impala that are, you know, and so they didn't want to move, so he just kind of bumps them and moves them out of the way and parks his car. Then the guys approach him, and he says something like, I'm bad for your health. So he's always got a zinger locked and loaded. But he rips the guy's wearing like a wife beater, and he rips it off of him. One of the cholo dudes, and then you could see right there taped to his chest is a lavalier mic, and there's like two different shots of it, and they're just like, fuck it, leave it in there.
Old Stallone's going improv, going method.
Yeah,
just leave it in. We got to move. We're losing. We got to move the shot.
When he shoots and kills the active shooter in the grocery store, then he does that thing. The gunslinger move where he twirls the gun on his finger before holstering it back. Like, it's so cheesy. It's so cheesy. Oh, man. But Cobra. Good Lord.
I mean, you know, everybody's trying. I think they were all just chasing Arnold, really, in the 80s, as far as, like, action, like what the model was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. Jeff Riley says...
favorite Arnold movie.
Ooh, favorite...
Off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head.
I'm going T2.
I saw that in the theaters. Favorite Arnold movie. I got a soft spot in my heart for...
Commando.
I got a soft spot in my heart for Commando. The part where he takes... Is it Frank Duke? You know the guy Frank Duke? Or is that his character's name? No. Frank...
I don't know.
Frank... Duke. No, Frank Dukes is the fighter that Jean-Claude Van Damme portrayed in Bloodsport. Okay. It's the guy who's like... I gotta find his name. I know the name I'm thinking of, and I don't want to fuck it up. Where is he? God damn it. Where is it? He should be top billing. The guy was great. Maybe it's Duke something. Bill Duke. Bill Duke. Sorry. Bill Duke.
Bill Duke.
Bill Duke. And he was in Predator. I always liked seeing that guy in a movie. He just had...
The white dude who kind of looks like a Native American with a giant jaw?
No, he is a black dude. He's black. He's a black dude.
Oh, okay. The black guy in Terminator.
He's always kind of sweating. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying
one. But... No, he's in Commando. He's always kind of sweaty. And he's always got this kind of cool...
I'm in Predator, but yeah.
Cool attitude around him. Always like seeing him and stuff. He's always got... I just like his attitude when he's in... Whatever character he's playing. But he drove this like orange Porsche 911 or something. And I don't know, like that he's the guy that like Schwarzenegger drops off a cliff and then the Porsche is on its side and he just pushes it back over with one arm. But I just like that guy.
Is Commando the one too? Is Commando the one where Schwarzenegger throws a knife at a guy and pins him to a wall and then he goes stick around?
Might be. I know he throws a pipe at the main nemesis and it goes through him. I never understood this. And then steam comes out. It's because it hit a pipe behind him. And he goes, let off some steam. Kind of an easier pun. Commando rules, man. I got to watch me some.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I loved his house there in that opening scene, wherever he was living, probably in the Rocky Mountains or something. Then the helicopters show up.
Good ass movie. All right.
Oh, all right. Sorry, the good old 80s action.
Took us away from here. Here we go. Here's a He's went, Jeff Riley. Hey, boys, I'm getting older and my beer preferences are getting darker. I prefer Guinness and porters to pilsners and lagers. That was like a little rhyme. Is it just me? Jeff, I'll say Pacific Northwest. Now, I'll start with one flavor beer if I'm out somewhere. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the grocery store here has like just get caught up in all the different descriptions and labels and everything, and then I buy some fancy bullshit and I drink it at home and I'm like, yeah, this sucks like I thought it would, but breaks up the monotony. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I get it. Also, I'm not trying to drink 20. I might just want three beers to get a buzz, and these other beers, not Guinness. Guinness actually doesn't have high alcohol content, and Guinness is just good. I don't know why I don't think of drinking it. Oh, I want one right now.
I like Guinness, but it's so different than like when I think of, ooh, I want a beer. I think it's because it's so smooth. It doesn't have as much carbonation, mm-hmm. it seems. I mean, I like it, but it doesn't seem like beer to me. It's almost like, it almost feels like a coffee drink or something because it's so smooth. But, man, I've found it. I don't like, you know, the craft stuff or whatever. As a rule, but I found one I do like, made in Bakersfield, California, the 805.
Oh, 805's good stuff.
Y'all have that up there? It's like a black. Yeah, I'm digging that because it's like, you know, I mean, we both talked about how we don't really care for IPAs, and I know like some real beer heads would think like, oh, you idiots, just drink domestic beer. But like, I started drinking like Budweiser and Coors, and that's, to me, that's always like the standard. Now, I'm not saying it's the best beers, but like when I think of a beer, I think of like a domestic beer. But the 805, it's the closest thing I found to like a craft domestic. Like it's, you could tell there's a little more going on than just a regular Bud or Coors, but it's still kind of in that same universe and not so IPA-ish and craft beer-ish. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 805, man, I'm digging that shit.
805's tasty. Definitely.
You know what else I love? I love Canadian beer. I never know, is it Labatt or Labatt?
I say Labatt.
Labatt Blue.
Labatt Blue. Give yourself a Molson.
Love that shit.
Love a Molson for yourself.
I love Molson. I love Moosehead. All those Canadian beers. Big fan.
Jake Weiss.
I love a good amber, too. I love a good amber.
I love an amber. I love a Tiffany. I love a Stephanie. Jake Weiss says, vampires and werewolves bite things to make them turn. Which of the two would you have bite another cryptid? Oh, I see what you're saying. It would create creatures such as a vampire Bigfoot or a werewolf Mothman. Bigfoot werewolf is just a pissed off giant cousin it. For a bonus, you can have them bite animals. A werewolf tortoise sounds spooktacular. Dave, I hope you like the Bigfoot record piece from Chattanooga.
Yes, Jake. Yeah, I met Jake in Chattanooga a few months ago. He made me some sort of like folk art piece out of a vinyl record. And then I think there were guitar strings strung across it. And then I've got it in the other room. And then there's an image of Bigfoot tending to an offset smoker. So he's just combining all my loves
stuff
with the
you.
Vinyl and
that's
the
pretty
barbecue
cool,
and
Jake.
Bigfoot. Yeah. And I do, seriously, I like weird folk art. You know, I've always liked just weird folk art. Like, oh, here's a old stop sign I've turned into a coffee table. And I don't know, I like shit like that.
Well.
Anything, any art made out of beer caps,
some found
bottle
objects,
caps.
A collage, a structural collage.
Mm-hmm.
We'll create creatures such as a vampire Bigfoot. If it was another cryptid. Think of a werewolf, bit of ghost.
A werewolf, bit of ghost.
Because then it's a ghost. So it's already a ghost. It's scary, but it can't really touch you or do anything. It's just around. Mm-hmm. But how would a werewolf bite a ghost? That's crazy. All right, I don't know what I'm talking about. Werewolves. I just the inconvenience of being a werewolf, which comedy wise was covered so much in What We Do in Shadows. Where he's like, you're wearing jeans? Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Tearaway pants. You know this. Like they all wear tracksuits because they know. Yeah, just that's a full moon. I got to get back, you know?
Yeah.
What are the crypt? Yeah, I mean, you know what? Fuck it. Werewolf, Loch Ness Monster. Something that big every full moon, but it's water based, so it's just in there wilding out in that lock.
Mm-hmm. Man, a werewolf biting a reptilian, that'd be cool. Cross between a werewolf and a reptile.
Well, wait, is a werewolf, is a were anything? Can anything be a were something? It just got to wolves first.
Great question. Were pig.
That's what I'm saying. If there's just where, they might be where all kinds of shit. Wolves are taking all the credit. And then, yeah, you got.
Man, a pig cryptid would be rad if you had just some sort of fucking megabore.
Megabore.
Some sort of pissed off mutant megabore.
Megabore is the best, like, droning metal band name. I know it's always easy metal band name, but Megabore, opening for Sleep.
Megabore. Oh, man. Good times. Andy Sanders, Kyle, on No Accounting for Taste, on the live episode, you talked about Lenny, the older guy you worked with at a gas station. Do you have any more stories about him? Also, Dave, did you ever have a Lenny? So who's Lenny?
When I worked at a Marathon station in Wooddale, Illinois, they had a fella that would come pump gas, older guy. It was kind of just a retired fella, and he would like pump gas for people from 4 to 6. And they'd tip him, and he was just, you know, he's just a personality that would, you know, work for a couple bucks. And he would always just tell me, I loved him. I think he was just... He'd always just tell me crazy shit. First, if you heard it elsewhere, sorry to repeat, but he was a little old guy. He would always tell me, like, oh, anything that was wrong with me, good head was always the solution. Oh, it's a hell of a zit on your forehead there, buddy. Look at that thing about to burst. You know, clear up your skin, some good head, buddy. That was always, oh, you're sniffling. You know, take care of that, some good head. Just a dirty little old man. And he would always tell me these stories about, he's like, oh, my first wife, Kyle. Oh, skin like milk. I tell you, I came home one day. I had the flu. She fucked the flu right out of me, Kyle. Oh, Kyle. Kyle, I dated a black woman once. Oh, boy. I tell you, I blew in her asshole. I went, brr, she went, oh, Lenny. Like, none of this was ever solicited. And then he's always like, I was supposed to be in showbiz, but I got this bum leg. And he would like slap his bum leg, and then he would just burst into like mute, like songs from the musical Oklahoma. And he was always he was that kind of old person racist where you're not hateful, you're just acknowledging race. Mm-hmm. Where any Latino person that came in, regardless of how they were dressed, he'd be like, oh, get you a Gatorade, it's hot out there cutting all that grass. And it would just be a Mexican guy.
Jeez.
And they'd look at me and I'm like, we know he's a crazy old man. And like, yeah. And then if it was ever was a black guy, I'd be like, look at this guy, put him in the ring. This guy could be the next Joe Frazier. And they'd look at me and I'm like, yeah,
got a great
build.
Yeah,
we know what we're dealing with here. But he was, I liked him. He was great. But did you ever have a guy like that, a little dirty old man in your life?
I didn't have I had a Stanley. I think I've told this story. When I was 16, I was dating this gal, and her grandfather owned a heating and air company. And in the summer, between 11th and 12th grade, I went and worked for him. Just roughing in houses, like just grunt work, crawling up under crawl spaces, and all kinds of shit. But anyway, it was like probably 30 blue-collar dudes that work there. Two women that worked in the office and just 30 just rednecks, probably ages 25 to 50. And there I am, the young 16-year-old who's dating the boss's granddaughter. And we had this old crotchety dude, he's probably about 50, named Stanley. And he was always in a bad mood. Nobody liked him. But he was always talking about eating pussy. And I remember the first day on the job, he goes, David, right? Uh-huh. You in high school? Yeah. You eat pussy? And I remember saying, I said, my answer was, not yet. And then he goes, you show me a man who won't eat pussy, I'll show you a man whose wife I can steal. And we were all like, okay, Stanley. And he was just always talking about eating pussy. And it was a little uncomfortable.
Okay.
He was also racist. This is the guy that when we were eating at Taco Bell on lunch break one day, a black fellow walked in, and Stanley looks at me and says, hey, somebody needs to tell that old boy they don't serve fried chicken and pineapple at Taco Bell.
Wow, got it wrong, too.
He got the joke wrong, and I had to correct him, and I felt really bad for correcting him. But, yeah, fried chicken and pineapple, because, you know, that's the old stereotype.
What is it about cunnilingus that's considered not tough? Like I didn't know about it until I was watching The Sopranos, and they were like, looked down upon.
It's literally the least gay thing you could possibly do. Like, how's that make you soft or gay?
And I'll say, like, is it because...
Well, their argument is, if you suck that thing, you suck anything. No, that's why some people are straight and some people are gay.
Your face is where... I don't even know what the... I just fully don't understand it. I can't even see it from that perspective. Like, oh, that's where penises go, so it's gay to put your face there, but then you put your penis there. So really it's saying like, then you want to mash your penis together with somebody else. I don't understand. It's like a very it's a very stunted view. Like, I don't even see the basis for it, is what I'm saying.
Plus the golden rule, you know? Yeah. If you got hard opinions about not eating pussy, I guess you're not receiving any beagers either.
It's a give and take.
You know, do unto others.
Mm-hmm. Shmutta asks, "What is the most bizarre dream you've ever had? You've ever had a dream turn out to be true?"
One time, I had a dream a hamburger was trying to eat me.
What was that from? That's right.
Seinfeld.
You know how there's like different recurring dreams of like people's teeth falling out or something? My recurring dream is always being stuck like at a very high elevation in a perilous place, like a TV tower or on the ledge of a building. That's a recurring. I can't think. Dreams are bizarre by nature. It's a gumbo of leftover thoughts and subconscious emotions. But that, like, to have that recurring, that's a recurring fear in my dreams. Is that, I'm always like on a ledge or stuck up on a TV tower. And it sucks. Like, I've had them where I've, like, those are the ones I wake up and I am not, I'm like exhausted because of the fear.
Yeah. I have one reoccurring dream, and it's a good one. And I have this about once a year, and I've had it since I was a teenager. But about once a year, I'll just have a dream that I'm playing a pickup basketball game, and I'm dominating. I'm just crushing. I'm passing. I'm scoring. I'm dribbling. I'm juking. I'm jiving. And it's just, I'm just floating on air, man. Just everything sinking. Just a great, just Dave just destroying on a 5-on-5 full court pickup basketball game. I don't know what that means.
I mean,
I had a weird thing that happened a few weeks ago. Yeah, it's a fun dream. And I'm always pissed when I wake up. But seriously, I had a weird thing happen a few weeks ago. well, I guess about a month ago when I was sick and I was in bed all week. I was just, you know, having little dreams here and there. You know, I'd fall asleep for 20 minutes or so. And this is very bizarre. I mean, it's not very bizarre, but it's kind of bizarre. And I just, it was on my brain because I just that week signed, like, signed up with a record label to produce this next special. And I had a dream that my dad, me and my dad were hanging out. And I, since he's passed, I've only had like two dreams that he's appeared in. And this was one of them. So I'm just, we're just sitting in the house I grew up in. And my dad's there. And he's just asking me about the special. And he's asking me about, you know, is it going to be on vinyl? And I'm just telling him about that. Then my phone rings and I get woken up. And the phone call, it was the guy at the record label. And we hadn't talked on the phone at that time. It had all been email correspondence. But I got woken from that dream because the record label guy was calling me on the phone. That's pretty weird.
That is, all right, a little spookiness. In a good way. Good vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, like, it's not like we talk on the phone all the time, me and this guy. That was the first time he'd ever called me. And it just happened to be interrupt a dream about me telling my dad about the record and the special and stuff, so I thought that was odd.
A little wild stuff. I don't dream very often. Or if I do, I don't remember. I mean, that's a big thing, too. Is you might not remember, but I'm reading about all these different prophetic dreams is what our fella here is asking us about. If we had any prophetic dreams. I haven't had any of that, you know.
Did I ever tell you about this? I remember, I did have a reoccurring dream as a kid. I remember being very young, and I had this dream three or four times. I remember being very young. I'm talking three or four. And I used to have this nightmare, and it was so weird and vague, but I was just like floating in a tank. I was like, kind of like in a pool, but I couldn't breach. I was just underwater the whole time. Maybe like an above ground pool. But it wasn't a pool. It was like grimy and swampy and gross. But I was just floating in a tank, and there were other like dark entities floating around me.
Okay.
And I just, the whole, and I had this dream several times. And I wonder if that has anything to do, and this is a stretch, but I was so young. I wonder if that has anything to do with like in utero.
Okay, okay.
Like I was having flashbacks from being.
Yeah,
like
I wonder
in
if they can tell if yeah, fetuses can dream or when. Like, how do you dream? Because your dreams are made up of images and you know, information you've taken in, being conscious and being alive in the world. So, like when they say like when a blind person does acid, like what do they see within their mind? Like, can they describe what the feeling is? You know, if you have limited experiences, like your dreams are made up of the data you've taken in. That's a good one. Spicy Sweet Chili Doritos asks, what type of restaurant would be the most fun to haunt? I'll tell you right now, it's a Benihana.
Most Benihana. Fun to haunt.
Because imagine like they flip a shrimp right at you, and then as a ghost, you just smack it across the room. All that kind of shit.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Yeah, Benihana's great. You walk across your ghost, so it doesn't matter. Walk across the grill, just little sizzly footsteps right in front of people. Otherwise, Fuddruckers, just because I want to go to Fuddruckers anyway, and I feel like as a ghost is the only way I'm going to be able to transport there because they're all so far away.
Yeah, that's true. I got to think about that one. Right on. Ian Bowers, hey guys, I'm going to be in Nashville soon for the first time. Be there for 2 days. I know you've named countless places you love in Nashville, but what are some things I absolutely must do and any things I definitely should avoid during the 48 hours? One evening is spoken for. I'll be seeing the Mountain Goats and Jay Maskus at the Ryman.
Well,
right on.
This is from two months ago, so Ian may have already gone to Nashville. But if you haven't...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you haven't, I would say you got to go to Arnold's, but they are now closed. Did I tell you about that guy?
Yeah, we mourn the loss of Arnold's.
really heartbreaking. I'd say you probably got to check out Santa's Pub. It's a dive bar inside of a double-wide trailer with a Christmas theme. And on certain nights, they do a live band classic country karaoke. That's a good time.
Check out
Santa's Pub.
You want to check out Robert's Western World. Check out Broadway on like a Friday or Saturday night. You really want to get down there. Listen, you know, Kaylee is getting married, and she's going to have the best damn bachelorette party. And it's not going to be at all like the other bachelorette parties. Hers is going to be different. They're all going to wear stonewashed jeans and boots. They're all no. Hers is going to be different. Kaylee's is going to be different.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Just the care of it looked like the fucking military down there. The way each bachelorette party was dressed the same in the same fun, quirky way, and they're all on the party buses going around. It looks like the videos you see of like in the staging area of like a base camp for Vietnam. Just the same color in each transport truck just going around. It was just, yeah, just buses of Kaylee's. I'm sure that everybody's marriage is going to last forever.
Check out Big Bad Breakfast. No hype, the best breakfast I've ever had. So good. They have three different gravies. They make their own jelly. What more do I need to say?
Lost Custody 69.
Three different grades.
Lost Custody 69. Says, which Sopranos character do you think would have been the most likely to have taken place in the January 6th Capitol invasion? Let's just pretend all of them live to see 2021 for this exercise. I think they would have celebrated Trump, but in a more realistic, appreciated him for grifting kind of way. Appreciated him for like being a criminal. You know, they're not dumb.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, some of them.
Well, yeah, some of them are dumb. I think who's the
Pauly Walnuts had probably been there. He seems to have the most hate and rage in his heart.
Yeah, misguided hate and rage.
I could see Bobby Bacala being there.
Which one's he? He's the sweet guy that married his sister, right?
He's the big guy. Yeah, sweet. Yeah, exactly. But something about, I could just see him going with the flow, and I could just picture him.
I see Michael Imperioli's character doing it. He's impulsive and didn't think anything out correctly.
Christopher.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel there's something about them. They'd look back and be like, oh, we agree with the sentiment, but they're doing it all wrong. Because, you know, a mob isn't about just rushing in, acting on impulse, because that just blows up a spot. Yeah. They're all about, like, all right, let's be methodical. Let's figure out how to fuck them over with more longevity. So,
yeah.
It's the who are the loose cannons that didn't think, and that's what they got in trouble. Within the mob, because they took action into their own hands.
Yeah. Jackie Jr. I could see Jackie Jr. doing that. Of course, he got killed. Mm-hmm. When he goes, thinking about getting into fashion. And I won't say the word he said, not that part, but like to be Hugo Boss.
Which guy was that? Which guy was Jackie Jr.?
That was Jackie Jr. was Jackie Aprile's son. Jackie Aprile was the first boss.
That's
the first season.
Right. No, I know.
He dated Meadow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, kind of a handsome young fella.
Getaway driver and screwed up. Okay, sure.
Jackie,
sure.
He just a fucking idiot. When they're playing Scrabble, all his words are like ass and boob.
I relate.
And Meadow's thinking, man, this guy's pretty dumb.
I relate.
to be Hugo Boss.
Sarah
Oh, here's okay, a
good
one.
I was going to say Sarah Set.
No, go ahead. I'll get my next.
Sarah Setkowiak, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. How did you both meet your significant others? We've heard bits and pieces over the years, but would love to hear the full stories if you want to share. That's just a sweet question, Sarah.
It's a good question.
Break it up. A little breakup, though. Like, look at what burger topping does the Yeti like the most, you know? No offense for those questions.
I was with you when you met your significant other.
Yeah, we met at a McDonald's in Montreal.
You remember that? At like
5 a.m. Last place open during the Just for Last festival. She was embarrassed to order. That's the only place open after partying. Yeah, it's like 5 in the morning. Everybody's just at a state you're at 5 in the morning. And, yeah, and then she was too embarrassed to.
Free open bar every night, by the way.
Disastrous, yeah. She went in there because, you know, it needed somebody to eat, saw a bunch of comedians. She felt bad. And then we're like, no, we know you. Get over here. And then I remember seeing her at the, like, seeing her at the festival and be like, don't flirt with people you work with, kind of, because she worked at Comedy Central at the time. Like, it's bad news. Don't flirt with the. And then I had a meeting at Comedy Central after that. Went in there. And she was in the meeting. I was like, I'm glad I didn't try any fast stuff, because now I got to be in a meeting with her. And then, like, knew her in that context. And then, like, a friend of hers, we kind of were all out after that. Like, throughout, that was 2013. And then we were out and then, you know, kind of started making out. And then, 10 years later.
Go.
Well, not officially 9 years later. But yeah, so. That was it. All thanks to McDonald's apple pie.
How about that? And, I mean, I know it was, you know, y'all were in the same industry, but it's still weird that you met your lady for the first time in a different country, but yet y'all live in the same town.
Yeah, but it was a comedy function, so it wasn't. It was fate adjacent. Yeah.
I met Katie my first day working at Spitz restaurant in Los Feliz.
Just the name Spitz kills me.
The guy who hired me.
Sounds Spitz, like a strip club.
Yeah. Just overpriced yuppie food.
She's dancing over at Spitz.
working over at Spitz. My first day, I got hired. The guy told me, he's like, oh, you're a comedian. I just hired another comedian. And then, like, an hour later, she showed up. And it really, I'm not, no hype. It was one of those, I'm not going to say it was love at first sight, but it was, when we met, it was, but we both later tell the story of, like, oh, boy, this person's going to be an issue.
Both buzzing.
Like, there was definitely a connection. Yeah, like, oh, man. Like, when we first met, I had the thought in my mind, like, this, for better or worse, this lady's going to be a part of my life for a while. It was just one of those connections. And and that's when I was living in a van. So I was I removed myself from the dating pool while I was living in a van. And she would constantly, like once a week, kind of invite me out to like post-work functions, you know, with other folks. And I always just, thanks, I can't. Because I just didn't want to try to get involved with anybody while I was living in a van. And then after a couple months, eventually I was like, sure, I'll join y'all. We went over to Ye Rustic, you know, right up the street.
Yeah, that's stuff happens
we're sitting,
over at Ye Rustic.
Sitting there drinking. Oh, yeah. So we're sitting there. It's like 6 of us, co-workers. And then something happened. I look up. It's just me and her. I guess everybody else had kind of drifted off. And then we're making small talk, whatever. And then she just goes, hey, you ever make out in a bar? And I was like, it's been a while. She goes, you want? And then she goes, you wanna? And I was like, sure. And then it was just game on.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Good.
But yeah, we went on one or two official dates, and then I told her. I was like, hey, it's something you need to know about me. It's like, because I'd lied. So you're like, where do you live? And I was parking in Silver Lake. So I was like, yeah, I live over in Silver Lake. And then I told her, I was like, look, I don't live in Silver Lake. And she goes, what, you live in Los Feliz? Like, that's my big secret. Like, nah, I live in a van. And she goes, oh, that's neat. Like, she could care less. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this chick's pretty cool.
That's then, and you didn't work there for too long, right?
No, I only worked there for like 3 or 4 months because then some touring picked up, and they said they were going to hold my. I was like, look, I got some tours coming up. And they're like, yeah, we'll hold your position. And then when I got back, they're like, sorry, we had to fill your position. And I was like, all right.
And what year was that?
Oh, yeah, that was 2012, fall of 2012.
Dang, all right.
So yeah, we've known each other for over 10 years, and then I tell some of these stories. We both were the first couple years was just real chaotic. I was living in a van and always broke, and she will admit that she had issues with alcohol and she was kind of a hot mess. So we were on again, off again, probably like a dozen times. But we're coming up on our 6 year anniversary in what I call our current administration in March. March of 17, we got together, we reunited, and we've been together ever since.
Well, and that's just a sweet old way to do things, because, like, it's messy sometimes the way things start up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can be a little...
Yeah, especially, you know, we just weren't in position to, you know, really be committed to anyone else. We each had our own baggage, but we worked through it, and here we are. I'm a happily married man.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are, buddy.
Things are good.
Well,
here's a good one.
I thought that was just a sweet story. You know, not a lot of jokes there. It's just a sweet question.
Thanks,
sweet
man.
Story.
And it's crazy, like, because, you know, we had some arguments, like some big arguments, you know, early on, just because I'm so stubborn and, you know, a man of principle, and, you know, she'd get drunk and I'd feel like, you're picking a fight, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, my point is we were on again, off again so many times, but it was never a case where, like, you know, you might say that I'm lying here, but I never remember like shit talking her to like my friends during our off moments.
I don't think
because
so.
I just knew in the back of my mind, I just knew like, oh, we're gonna, I just knew we were gonna wind up being together, you know.
I don't remember you ever doing anything like that. Even I think everybody gets points of frustration, but I don't think you ever was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was any kind of.
Yeah, I was definitely frustrated, but I never did anything, any permanent damage, just because I knew I was like, regardless of what I'm feeling right now, you know, if I'm angry or whatever, I mean, we just had this connection. We just kind of kept gravitating back towards each other. And you know, I'm not saying it's all because of this issue, but she quit drinking cold turkey in 2016 and hasn't touched it since. And not that that was the root of all of our issues. You know, a lot of it, you know, I'll definitely take my share of the blame. But, you know, that definitely had something to do with it. But now that a lot of that baggage is gone, it's just, it's a good time. It's a
nice
good time.
Buddy.
Meaty Gonzalez, Dave, if you were the head chef for the Campbell's Chunky Soup series, what you putting out there? Kyle, what's the worst smell you've ever been responsible for? Australian accents are encouraged. Massive hamburger.
Flavor.
Loads of flavor.
That's about all. Yeah.
What am I doing with a chunky? Man, I hate Campbell's chunky soup. I just can't. I know there's a time and place for canned soup, but now that I know how to make my own, just so much bullshit.
Well, think of the people that don't make their own, Dave. Think of us folks out here who just want to.
That's
crack
true.
Just like you like want to crack open a cold beer, and there's home brewers out there that are angry at you. Like I like to just crack open a can of soup.
Man, I would say I don't know that they have this or don't have this, but a really good chicken and sausage gumbo.
Okay.
Really good chicken and sausage. Oh, that's one thing I forgot to tell you about the steak stew. I made a roux. That's the key, one of the key components. But I made a nice roux to thicken it up. You know, I speaking of bad gumbo, I went to the farmer's market over at the Grove a couple weeks ago, and they got a little Cajun spot in their food court. And they might as well, they should honestly just change the name of it to Gumbo Soup. Because it had,
I mean,
all the things that gumbo has, but it didn't have a roux. It was just thin, soupy, bland gumbo.
Well, okay. Now, I like, you know what I like? When you get a pasta, like pre-made pasta, don't get on me about it, Dave, but when it says mushroom and there's a chunk of fucking mushroom, not a slice, not a little bit, a chunk, hit it with a fork.
You like a big old chunk?
I would do.
Uh-huh.
Is there any mushroom broth soups or is it all creamy? Like a French onion,
I'm sure there's
soup.
A brothy mushroom. Ooh, I like what you're.
I'm an idea guy. Like, I'm not great with the execution, but I'm an idea guy.
You are an idea guy. That's a good one. French mushroom soup. I like that. Same, the Gruyere cheese and all that shit.
Yeah,
everything,
is it too earthy?
Same, just swap
out. Is it
going
to be too earthy?
I don't think so. You know, I don't even think you got to swap out. I think you could just add the mushroom. Keep the onion, but add the
mushroom. I'll add mushroom to everything.
Just
about every dish I could see mushrooms and onions going in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mushrooms is something I've come around on. When I was a teenager, I didn't care for them. But I have definitely come around on the old mushrooms. Kyle, what's the worst smell you've been responsible for?
I mean, man, I've pulled some shit around here. Quite literally. There was times at the old apartment where I would just, you know, kind of like, if I didn't get sweaty or actually dirty, I'd just kind of like let it ride for a few days. And then I get a real onion patch kind of smell. And at one point, Rachel's like, "You're ruining every room you walk into." I'm like, "All right." And then, yeah, I just, you know, a lot of poops, you know, I poop and it smells. But then my problem is I poop and then I just hang out in there.
Man.
Instead of, like, getting rid of it. There's something about when you create a smell, there's an attraction to it. You know? Where you're not, it's gross, but you're also, there's a little bit of fascination. Like, my body made this. And then you're like, all right. There's, like, this strange, perverse sense of pride. I think some of the worst, though, honestly, it was probably after eating at Bledsoe's and, like, belching. And I remember, like, making a joke, like, oh, my God, if it smells like, you know, like a wind just blew out of a cave full of dead animals, which is exactly what your body is after eating barbecue. I'm like, all right, everything makes sense. But it was
Zanku chicken garlic butter burp. You know that garlic spread they give you at Zanku?
I'll tell you this much. They would kick me out of the mob if they saw how I would finish that garlic butter out of the little plastic ramekin it came in. I would chow down, tongue out, getting every last bit.
Tickle that button.
That's like if it's seductive, like when a woman eats a popsicle, like it's suggestive and seductive. Me cleaning out garlic butter from Zanku out of one of them little plastic containers, same thing.
Man, when I worked at Longhorn, I was really health conscious.
Longhorn.
Back then. And I ate pretty good. Almost every day, my free meal, I would make a blackened salmon Caesar salad. It was just so delicious.
Sounds very low
carb. But something about the salmon and the blackened, the Cajun spice, and the Caesar dressing, those, I've cleared out rooms from burping.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
After eating this blackened salmon Caesar salad. Like, just, it was the most potent, horrific burp you know it's bad when you almost gross yourself out.
That's like what I was talking about, like the barbecue.
That is a weird thing that we don't mind our own smells.
The barbecue burps were just smelled like dead flesh. Like I was upset that was the smell. Like put like again, poop without big rat. Poop is poop. Poop stinks because of what it is. But it's something I just agreed to eating. Something like I smelled it. Can't wait. And then 10 minutes later, that's what came back out of my body.
Yeah. It's crazy. Blah.
Let's give him one more, Dave, now that we've grossed everybody out with that. Bud Dwyer Tire Fire. Bud Dwyer Tire Fire. Never was a New Year's resolution, kind of fell out. We're still going on the New Year's resolutions questions because we won't get to everybody. I figured if I were going to change, I'd just do it without using a date change as a catalyst. I agree with you, Bud Dwyer, Tire Fire. Now he says, if you could barbecue one fictional creature, what would you pick? Creature opens it up.
Fictional creature?
Creature opens it up. When I was skimming it, I thought he said character, and I was going to go wild with some cannibalism. But fictional creature, I would do that flying dog from A NeverEnding Story.
It's still dog.
But it's also, it also dog? Flies, so it's kind of like poultry.
I was thinking like a pterodactyl or something. Of course, that's not really fictional. That's prehistoric. Fictional creature.
One of those sand snakes from Tremors. Big old sand snake steak.
Okay.
Sand snake steak.
Okay. I just watched Star Wars. Jabba the Hutt. Gotta be some good fatty meat.
It's all fat. There's no meat. He doesn't even move. He can't even move under his own power. I bet that tail's probably.
Whole hog barbecue.
Yeah, that tail's probably tough eating. What part of the gator do you eat? When you eat gator,
I'd give Jabba the Hutt.
When you eat gator, is it the tail meat? What are you eating when you eat a gator?
I think it's the tail.
Okay, so Jabba the Hutt tail meat.
I feel like it's the tail.
Mm-hmm. She used to dance at Spitz. Now she dances over at tail meat. all right, maybe Jabba the Hutt, sure. What about Godzilla?
Reptiles.
Reptiles, poultry. I think reptile falls under poultry. In the food pyramid.
You think so?
How? Birds come from dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. So if you eat chicken, and then if you're eating like just gator straight up or something or a reptile, it's like, oh, it's very much the similar. You know, it's not. Are birds cold blooded? They're cold blooded, I think. Are birds cold blooded? I'm looking at all. Birds cold-blooded. Nope, birds are warm-blooded. Okay.
Yeah.
Why do birds not freeze? No,
I never quite understood what that meant. Is that literal?
No.
Like if you
I'll
were
tell
to
you right now.
Kill a fresh reptile and the blood comes out, is that cold-blooded?
Warm-blooded means, just not like I know this offhand, but it's just like their body temperature stays the same no matter how hot or cold it is outside. Reptiles, cold-blooded creatures, can change their body temperature. Frogs can freeze in the wintertime and then defrost and reanimate in the spring.
Come back to life.
But like us, our That's body crazy. Temperature has to stay the same, or else we're in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, regardless of what the temperature is outside. Okay. That makes sense.
Like fish.
Look at that. You learn something new every day.
What about a megalodon? Fish creatures.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah, some sort of crazy seafood. I'd love a giant oyster. I'd like an oyster so big you got to use a knife and fork.
I love oysters. That grossed me out. I'm just thinking like a...
You show me a man who won't eat oysters, I'll show you Manny's Wi-Fi.
Eat an oyster. Oysters only work because of the size. I'm thinking about, like, oh, you would just straight up, like,
yes.
Just
briny
meat.
Just a meat.
Frisbee. Just a
salty, briny,
upside down
meat.
Frisbee. Full of just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't slide them down. I chew that shit. Fucking, I get down there and chew
it's a te-
them.
Yeah, it's a texture thing for me. It's like one of the few
really?
Things I don't eat. I'll try it again one day. It's like eel. When I go to sushi, I think I need more pushback on it. It's just kind of mushy.
Okay.
Or when I've had it, it's kind of mushy and threw me off. Oysters only because, ooh, there's the flavor of the ocean, this and that, but I'm not trying to dwell on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it's like the people that drink whiskey and then swish it around their mouth. Like, nah, just get it down there. Do the job.
Yeah.
It's, for me, it's meant to be tasted briefly. Would you eat bugs? Gonna get in on this, like, this bug protein that we're all gonna have to rely on soon?
Yeah, I mean, in the right scenario.
The right scenario.
It was life or death.
Life. But protein's running out. We're going to have to move to bugs.
Yeah, I'm saying if I hadn't eaten in a while and, you know, I didn't have any
I'm
other
saying
options,
right now
sure,
as just a protein added
just,
to the concept.
Just for the novelty
Not even
of
novelty.
It?
The protein as a concept. There's an.
How much protein could you possibly get out of a tiny little bug? Just
You've
got to
eat a
chicken.
Bunch of them. You get a bunch of bugs.
I ate a cricket or something one time. I did a sketch series with the Beards of Comedy years ago, and we were in San Francisco eating weird food. I ate chicken feet and crickets or grasshoppers.
I ate some, like, yeah, crickets with flavoring on them.
Yeah, it's. I was pretty unimpressed.
You want...
But yeah, no, I would eat it if I had to, but no, I can't imagine just casually, you know, yeah, let me just eat a whole bucket of
What if somebody
bugs.
Respected had a dish made out of bugs and like, oh, this tastes real good? Could you get it out of the way? I think it's the concept. This is where I go, this is how I go to the vegetarian thing, and God, I do, like, actually get the, like, when there's the pita, like, pita's off the rails. Like, they're so bonkers, people think they're actually the meat companies run pita to make the cause look ridiculous. And I kind of agree sometimes. But when they're like, when things, like, that was my argument before, when things go from pet to food regarding animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's why it's not, I'm not, like, completely offended by a country that, oh, yeah, we just eat dogs and cats over here. Mm-hmm. Cats are an invasive species, and that's a culture that's like, yeah, they're everywhere. We eat them. People eat. Hogs are invasive species. But I'm saying, like in a global sense, you can't get pissed at a country that decides to do that if they worship cows. And over here, like, nah, there's a field full of cows standing in their own shit, and they're just going to all be ground into the same pile of meat. That gets stamped out and delivered across. Like, I started to see the similarities about, like, why is one better than the other? And I'm kind of like, all right, maybe I got to back out of that, you know? And so that's why I was kind of just chicken and fish towards the end there anyway. Still fish. Oh, I had shrimp and scallops last night. But,
Oh, yeah.
Great. It's a place down the street. But fish, I still look at a fish and I don't feel this worldly connection like I do with a mammal or a bird.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. And it's me. Like, somebody can argue with me about it. Like, I argue with myself. So there's no point in trying to point out. I believe what I believe in, you know? But with the bugs thing, where if you start just removing yourself, like, well, everything could be food. Why should we decide to be grossed out by one? Like, oh, I'm going to eat a cow. But the eyes or the brains or the tongue, that's gross to some people. Why? You're already eating the thing. You're already cutting into it and taking a chunk out of it. Why should any part be more or less gross?
Yeah.
So I get I'm already going to eat like crab, which is, I mean, I've done the jokes about it, but just an armor plated spider from the bottom of the sea. Why are bugs a taboo gross thing? I think it's just mental conditioning. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think they're taboo. They just don't seem as appealing. But then again, I've eaten one cricket my entire life, so there might be bugs that are delicious. Who knows? There might be a beetle might taste like buttered popcorn. How would I know?
Buttered beetles. Old buttered beetles for a movie snack. Well, sorry, that was my little rant there. Oh, what do you say? We've been babbling for a while.
Well, what do you say to tits?
You dancing at Spitz tonight? Or tail meat?
Ugh.
Well, I'm all full of
well, right on, buddy.
Pee.
Good times. Yeah, you better go take care of that.
Yeah, I'm gonna do something.
I've been drinking a little iced coffee here and there. I've come around.
Good,
coffee.
Gets going. A little kick in the ass in the morning.
I'm finding myself as I get older. I'm for the first time in my life. I require some caffeine.
Buddy.
I used to just get up, start my day, never drink coffee. I still don't drink hot coffee. It's got a weird thing with warm beverages. But, give me a little iced coffee going. I do an iced espresso. Triple iced espresso.
Triple.
A little more flavor. A little more flavor than just regular coffee.
Or just
get all juicy.
Gets you going. Gets you good and chatty. All right, buddy.
Yeah. Yep.
It also makes you pee a lot. So that's
good
what
times,
I'm gonna
do. Patrons.
Thank
you so much.
Everybody.
Yeah. Thank you, patrons. We appreciate you as always. Hope everybody's doing well.
Absolutely.
And thanks for participating in our dumb little Q&A.
Godspeed. God bless.
Good times.
Bye.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.